Accession number 30418, Mr. Eric Greg Robery, Reel 3. Now, anything else happened at Padgate that you can remember? Or is that it? Is that where you first encountered the problem with your name?
No.
No, right, okay. We'll save that till later. They won't understand what that is. But yeah. No. Mm-hmm. So what happened after Padgate then? Did you just go back home?
Went back home, went back to my job, and waited for call-up. And that came in the end of March 1943.
And where were you to go?
I received my call-up papers and a rail warrant and a passbook. And I had to report to Lord's Cricket Ground at St. John's Wood, London.
That's the aircrew reception centre, I think.
It was at that time.
Now, anything about the journey down? I mean, we used to making... Yes, you were. You'd been on camps and things before.
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you got there? What was your reception? Because this time you really were. You were stopping being a civilian and you were going to be
That's
in the
right.
Army. Well, the Air Force.
Yeah.
What happened when you got there, down there to Lord's?
I can remember getting off the train at Euston, and I had to report to the RTO. There was a rail transport officer, military personnel, at every mainline station in the country. And you produced your rail warrants and all the other documents you had to produce, and they had transport arranged for you to get to Lord's Cricket Ground. Yes, we did go there first, as far as I remember. Lord's Cricket Ground. And that, I can't remember. I think it was in the form of a tube ticket or a tube warrant. And they told you which tubes to get and where to get off. And there would be RAF personnel there to accept you and take you to Lourdes. That's what happened. Yeah. And we...
Now, were you in civvies or were you in your...
No, in civvies. Yeah. I hadn't been in uniform then. No, civvies.
So what happened?
I can't remember whether we went straight to Lourdes. I don't think we did. We went to St. John's Wood, and there were luxury flats all along the side of Regent's Park. Oh, beautiful. And these have been taken over, requisitioned by the Air Force for the acceptance of recruits. And we'd all been already allocated a certain one of these flats. And in the basement, usually below ground or like an underground sort of street level garage, that's where the dining room was. And then if you get the lifts up to whichever floor they put you on, and we were in the most luxurious flats you've ever seen. Marble bathrooms, gold plated fittings. Nothing in the way of furniture apart from the iron beds, you know.
How many to a room? I mean, you wouldn't have a room in, would you? I mean, how many to a room?
It depends on the size of the room you got into. They weren't all the same size, you know. There's little half triangular rooms, all the rest of it. I remember being in a room, might have been not quite as big as this. One, two, three, four. About six or seven beds in it, eight beds.
In a room about 12 by 14.
Bare boards, which we had to scrub white eventually. and we were in there, still civvies, had our cases. Then we were fed downstairs in the thing. And I think we had a little talk from somebody or other explaining what was happening the next day. when we were gathered together after breakfast and taken to Lord's cricket ground. And there we were kitted out.
Now, what do you remember about what you got?
Well, it was the long room at Lord's. You know, the big long room from the pavilion that had been stripped bare of all the trophies and everything else. Trestle tables down one side, looking out over the trestle tables onto the cricket pitch. And behind those tables, a group of RAF people, old regulars, and tea chests full of different things, sometimes shelving with different things on. And you went along and they weighed up your height and weight and sometimes measured you, gave you your underwear, your shirts, your shoes, your socks, everything. Steel helmet, gas mask.
Did they measure you at all? Or was it just by guesstimate?
No, I think they already had our height and weight on whatever documents we'd brought from Padgate. I can't remember, really.
You did mention that they took your height and weight, so I think that...
Yeah. They did all that there.
So you were kitted
so out. That was it. And then kit bag to put it all in. We didn't get any flying kit at that stage. We just had uniform stuff. We got a kit bag. And it was back to the billet, where we had to get rid of all our civvy stuff, strip it off, put your uniform on, pack the rest of the stuff in your case, label it. Later it was collected and sent home, and that was it. And then we had 4 weeks at Lord's, where St John's Wood, where we billeted.
So you were there, March to April,
roughly. Yeah, we were in these luxury apartments. We were taken on route marches to Seymour Road swimming baths. This was to get our boots broken in.
What were the route marches like? What do the Cockneys do?
God. I mean, reduced to wearing shoes, the boots you got, they're like concrete. Everyone had blisters. And every day they'd march you somewhere, either to the swimming pool or to the Abbey Lodge Hospital, where you went for injections and further medicals.
Did you get used to marching? Or
you did, eventually, yeah. You did, yeah.
So what else were you doing? I presume you did some drills.
It was really explaining to us. We had to have medicals. We had to have more injections.
What were the injections for?
I don't know. But wouldn't be flu.
Tetanus.
All sorts of diseases.
And how did it affect you? Because I know it affects.
It's all entered in your paper.
It affects some people badly. How did it?
Well, it did. Your arm was stiff as could be. And you went down a line of tables with the RAF medics standing there with syringes in their hand. Come along, roll your sleeve up, stiff it, and then out. Some of the blokes just fainted on the spot. And the bigger they were, the tougher they looked, the more feeble they were. The bloke in front of me went down like a pack of cards as soon as he saw the needle coming through his arm. They all got ribbed about it later on. But that's what we did. And then there was a corporal in charge of each group who was shepherding us around on these things. He was our corporal for our intake. And the corporal would go into Regent's Park and lie around on the grass. He said, you can have 5 or 10 minutes here just to get over it. And then he'd say, right, now I want you all to do press-ups. He said, the more you do this now, the less you'll suffer later on. He says, you've got to get that serum through your body. So we're, keep going. And eventually we found it did work. We got back to the billet, these luxury flats, had a meal, had a half an hour or so's rest, maybe a bit longer, and then they were around again. Right, now the next thing, it's cleaning time. Cleaning time, first of all. Mops and buckets and scrubbing brushes. We all had to get down on our hands and knees and scrub these white floorboards. Just ordinary floorboarding. They were already spotless. But we had to scrub them. They were standing there making you scrub. Oh, that arm. But it did work. You know, and it wore off. We gradually felt we're into the run of things. Things were going to get better from now on.
Now, did this teacher drill? Because, I mean, you hadn't done drill in ATC, but you must have learned drill at some point.
That's coming later on.
What were they teaching you? Because, I mean, you were there nearly a month.
Well, we were there, it was just a reception centre. Yes, it was a month.
So what were you doing?
Documentation took a lot of time, and sorting you out into smaller groups. And that is when I was put in. They asked us our names, and I said, Robbery. I was in the L to Z group, the others were A to K. That was that. Then they would march us through and show us where all the different places were. In Regent's Park, they had a big building which was called Home Office or Home House, and that's where all your records were kept. That's where you went and you handed in your ration book and any other documentation you had to complete. Did it all there. And then they told you when it'd been a sufficient length of time, a fortnight, I think, we were due for pay parade. And the A to K's were in home office, where we'd just been. L to Z's were in Regent's Park Zoo, which was quite a bit away in the park. So it came to the next morning, it's time for pay parade. Made our own way to we had a corporal take us, all the L to Z's, remember, lining up right through to Regent's Park Zoo. Stood there on pay parade, and you had to give your name and last three. When they called your name out, it's Sir Robbery, 665. And then I got round to me. And everybody else had been paid. They got through to the K's. They got through to the Z's, rather. And I hadn't been paid, so I was standing there, and I had to go and tell the flight lieutenant doling the money out. He said, what's the matter? He asked, well, I haven't had any pay. What's your name? I told him. Looked it up.
Told him
and he looked up some documents. He said, have you got a middle name? I says, yes, it's Greg. Eric Greg Robbery. No. And then he said, can you remember what was on your ration book? I said, yes, Greg Robbery. I could see what he was thinking. Oh, what an idiot I've got here. Oh, he said you should have been on the A to K group at Home Office. So get yourself over there. Just take your ration book and get yourself over there. So I did that, but it was the next day I was able to get there.
So you'd always called yourself Eric Robbery, but you were
never
really
used the Robbery at all, the Greg at all. We always knew it was there. And to us, you know, at school, as kids, We always thought of it as a second Christian name, you know. I should have known better because my grandfather was always called Greg Robrey. I mean, he died just before I went into the RAF, and he left a will, and his will was in the name of George Greg Robrey, but it never clicked, you see, but it should have done. And my father never used a full name, but I always knew that the Greg was there.
Now, anything else happening? Any other training or things you were doing? Because most of that's in the first week, if you see what I mean, that you've told me so far.
Yes.
If you can't remember, you can't remember.
Well,
time
we did a lot of physical training, yes.
Tell us about the PT then. What
most of it was at the baths at Seymour Road.
Was it actually swimming, or was it just at the bath?
Swimming, yes. And a lot of the fellows couldn't swim. I couldn't swim much myself, but I enjoyed, you know, being in the pool. And
was this in case you were ditched? Were you actually?
Yes,
swimming,
yes.
Training?
And a lot that training became much more involved later on, but not at Seymour Road baths. I thought they're encouraging us to improve our swimming, which a lot of them, I'm sure, did. I mean, there were chaps who couldn't swim at all, and frightened of the water. So we did a bit of that, not a lot of it.
Any other sorts of PT?
Seeing to documentation, that was, I mean, and medicals, dentistry. Oh, that was another thing. Before I went into the RAF, after I'd volunteered, in Liverpool, I had to go and have a dental on my medical there. They discovered I had a tooth in the back here that should come out. And again, in my dinner hour, I went to the dental hospital in Liverpool to have it out in my dinner hour. And there was a gang of students doing it, supervised by a proper dentist, and they made a real mess of getting this molar out right at the back here. It crumbled and they left bits of it in, but eventually they finished with me, and that was just before I went into the Air Force. And they picked this up at the Abbey Lodge Hospital. We'll have to have something done with that tooth because it hadn't healed up. It formed that there's a bit of the shell left in with gum, and an abscess had formed on it. It was like the size of a pea, and a tube coming from the bottom of the pea into my mouth. And it was filling up from somewhere up here, the other part of it. And that they didn't attend to it there and then, but they said eventually that'll have to be seen to. And it didn't happen until I got to Advanced Flying Unit at Staverton in Gloucester, where they had a good dentist on the site, and he actually x-rayed it, cut a flap in a gum, got the whole lot out, sealed it up, and it healed up, and from then on it's been okay. That was just, you know, one of the little things. The sort of thing was cropping up. We seemed to have a bit of spare time when we were at St John's Wood.
Did you get out and about in
London?
Yes,
I remember going to Madame Tussauds around Baker Street. We went back to the zoo, Regent's Park. There were still, you know, part use, animals there. And just, you know, making ourselves known.
Did you drink? Or, I mean, a lot, some people don't drink at all.
Yes, but not a lot at that stage. No, nothing like that. Not
cinema?
Till later on. No, or AF clubs, and we haven't got a mess as such.
What about cinema?
Well, you could go to the local cinemas. There wasn't a camp cinema. It wasn't a camp.
I mean in London.
No, it wasn't a camp, you see. It was civilian flats.
That's what I mean. There's lots of cinemas in London.
Oh, we went to... No, I didn't. No, I went to Madame Tussauds. I remember that. And another thing I've forgotten to tell you. I've forgotten all about this.
All right, carry on.
My aunt and uncle, that's my father's sister and her husband, and my two cousins lived in Middlesex. Oh, I've forgotten the name of the place.
Somewhere in Middlesex.
Kenton. Lived at Kenton, which was a short journey away on the tube, the Bakerloo line. And the first weekend I was at St John's Wood. We had the first free weekend we got. My uncle and my younger cousin were downstairs at the bottom of the flats where we lived because we had the free weekend. And he took me back to my aunt's, to their house at Kenton. That was it. And he did that every weekend I was there. So I spent the weekends with my family and made... You know, been in contact with them up in Liverpool, but that was the most contact I had with them for a long time. I quite enjoyed that. I just used to get the tube down a few stations on the Bakerloo line.
Were you aware of much bombing going on in London at the time? I'm not sure there was.
I wasn't. No, there wasn't at that time. No, there wasn't.
Anything else?
But there was none at all. We didn't get any bombing at the time. I was only there 4 weeks.
So anything else during that 4 weeks? I mean, you've done quite a lot.
It's all a bit vague.
So
we did go and see a cricket match at Lord's. It was a New Zealand team and a scratch English team. These were, it mightn't have been all New Zealanders, maybe New Zealanders, Australians, you know, troops who were over here, and they got a scratch team together. And the England team did the same. They were all togged out in their whites, and we were sitting in front of the members' pavilion. The Lords thought, "Oh, it's great like this. Oh, what a lovely war." Yeah, I've forgotten about that. So it was sort of well split up.
So what happens next? Where do you go from?
We all received a posting to initial training wings. There were various ones we could go to. I went to, I think it was number one, initial training wing at Bridgnorth. We were there for 4 weeks, Bridgnorth in Shropshire. And there, mainly, it was a gunnery course because we were still classed as WAP AGs.
And you went there in April, you think? Might have been May if you're playing cricket. If they were playing cricket in London, but
it could have been April.
The season starts earlier.
I can't remember.
If you were there about April or May.
Yeah.
And
it would be May, at least May, I think.
Right.
If not June, I can't remember. But we only had 4 weeks there.
What were conditions like there?
Oh, we were in Nissen Hut. It was a proper camp. And the main reason for us being there was to learn a bit about gunnery.
Now, how did they start teaching you about gunnery?
We had the 303, I forgot what they were called. Later, there was the .5 Browning guns in the gun turrets. But there was this particular machine gun, we had to learn all about it, how to take it apart. Lots of intricate little pieces, how to be able to put it together again without fumbling and so on, just to get us used to handling the weapons. We did a lot of work on the firing range,
using the same machine
gun. Firing rifles and machine guns on the ranges. Didn't do any flying there at all.
Tell me about the rifle training. So you were trained on the rifle, were you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And how did you do?
Well enough. It wasn't the sort of thing that you had to pass. You just had to be familiar with them. We had tests on how to be safe with the weapon. We fired from the standing position, from the shoulder, from the kneeling position, lying prone. How to adjust the sights for distance. And we fired 5 rounds rapid fire, where you aim at the target and fire off 5 rounds as quickly as you can, and the object being to get them in as tight a group as possible. Then we had just target practice, where you scored points, where you could take your time, lying from the prone position, or from the standing position, then the kneeling position, just scoring inners or outers, and all this sort of thing, magpies. Whether they kept a record of these or not, I don't know.
Did you ever fire from a mock turret, or were you introduced to the turret environment? I mean on the ground, I don't mean in the air, but
no.
I mean, they didn't have a mock-up of a turret at all.
No.
So it was just this
machine. They may have had, for people who were eventually just gunners and not wireless operators. We weren't WAPAGs for long, because with the advent of radar, the wireless operator had much more to do than just receive half-hourly broadcasts. And there just wasn't time for you to do both. And in Lancaster's, we didn't know we were going to be in Lancaster's, of course, at that stage, but in most of the heavy bombers, there were 3 turrets in the Lancaster, and the bomb aimer was in charge of the
I'll come to that, but what you mean is that they stopped training wireless operators as gunners.
Yes, we became signallers. The badge I got when we passed out after radio school was a signallers badge.
Now, anything else you're doing at Bridge North? So you're on this course, anything else you're doing on the course? Machine guns, rifles, anything else?
PE. Cyril Washbrook was there. He was a opening batsman for England.
What was he doing there?
He was a PTI. Flight Sergeant, PT instructor.
Were you a fan of cricket? Because I see a couple of cricket
games
over there.
Yeah.
Were you a cricket fan?
Yeah.
Because Cyril Washbrook was pretty famous. I mean,
he was. Hutton and Washbrook were there, were the openers.
Now, I mean, he's still known now, never mind then. I mean, what was he like?
Oh, he was a great fellow. Tall and broad. A lot older than us, were. He's our hero, you know, we're still young lads. He had a lot, he was a PT instructor. He took us for rugby, and I'd never played rugby in my life, and I don't think I ever will again. I got a fist in my face, or open hand in my face. But he was a good PTI.
Did he take you in cricket as well?
No, but he spent a lot of time having us roll the pitch. One of these massive rollers, you know, with a frame on it, and took, you know, half a dozen people to move it.
And was he reasonably friendly? Or?
Oh, yes, he was friendly, quite friendly. Much more friendly than some of the other NCOs, you know.
Well, how did you get on with the instructors generally? How did you get on with the NCO instructors generally?
It depends. After Bridge North, we were only there 4 weeks.
Should I hang on then? I'll ask that later.